No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Also joining us via the web is Captain Dennis. And Dennis has a problem. And we're going to see if we can solve it at least for at least a segment. Dennis, welcome. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Greg.
All right. So you have a business trip planned, and it's in Florida. You know, Dennis lives up there by Lake Minnetonka in Minnesota.
Up in the great white north of Minnesota.
Yeah. So you're coming to Florida. Any snow?
Not yet. It's still holding. Summer's still holding in here.
Okay. Has it cooled off though? Is it cold and stuff like that?
We're just starting to get the first of the temperature drops. It's about 60 outside today, which is just wonderful.
Well, that's good flying weather.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Yeah, but you're going to fly commercial down to Orlando, but you have a meeting.
With the prices, it just doesn't make sense. You know, our Cardinals are just over $100 an hour. So, 10-hour flight to Orlando, it just doesn't make sense. I can get a round trip on Delta to Orlando for about $230.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. So you're going to do that, and then you got to get up to Jacksonville. And you think that maybe, being that you know Ed and Keith via Just Plane Radio, that you could work some kind of scam to let them give you a plane? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, I don't know about a scam, but you know, it would accomplish.
That's the way Greg does things. Dennis doesn't do things that way.
I don't know. You know Dennis that well.
Yeah, Greg does know me. I've been in the prize closet over at Scuba Radio one too many times.
He's got one of every Scuba Radio item we've ever made,
including a liveaboard trip.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So it's about time he scammed something off of Just Plane Radio. No, seriously, though, you'd like to possibly rent a plane, land here on your commercial flight, and then pop over to Flight Training Professionals or the charter one of their rentals. You guys have planes, right?
Yeah.
They could do. How would that work, though? I mean, you got to go over for a meeting for a few days or one or two or what?
I haven't worked the details out. I'm guessing it's just going to be a one-day meeting with the customer out there. So, you know, my thought would be to come in to Orlando, you know, and drive over there. But if an airplane was available, it'd be sure be a lot more fun. And
heck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be.
We could probably make that happen.
Yeah. I mean, didn't
so it, what is the process for a renter pilot that's going to come in and fly with Just Plane or, you know, with the Flight Training Pros?
They're going to have a checkout to make sure they're current and competent in the air, make and model.
Even Dennis, someone that we've talked to many times.
Especially
Dennis. Well, let's put it this way. It's one of those things that if you didn't do and something bad happened, your insurance company would have a cow and you would not have insurance anymore. So, yes, even Dennis.
Okay. All right.
So, we have to definitely make sure that he can handle the airplane. It is a 72 and it's going to land a lot like the Cardinal and all that stuff. There's the biggest difference is going to be technology.
You know, so you would have to take them up in a like checkout flight and have them fly around the airport a few times.
Well, and you know, go out to the practice area, show us some emergency procedures and maneuvers and a couple landings, and
so he could do that and say do that in like a flight hour or something,
hour and a half at the max.
Okay, so he could do that, and then if you guys thought okay, he has it together, he can take off to Jacksonville, do whatever he needs to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was looking at your fleet, and it looks like you're all G1000 based on your 172. And
those are awesome.
I'm sure they are. I've flown the Avidyne Integra in some of the early Cirruses.
And yeah,
I'm sure it's similar. Yeah,
we can fix that. Yeah,
yeah.
Have you got any time with the 430 or 530s?
Yeah, we have a 430 in our Cardinal,
and you'll have no problem because the infrastructure with the GPS side of it is basically the exact same procedure button for loading and approach procedures and menu. You know, the flight plan button for building the flight plan and the looking at the display. It takes about 10 minutes to get used to not obsessing about the small numbers, but if you've flown the Avidyne, you've already seen the digital readouts that, you know, you understand the difference of, you know, okay, I'm 20 foot off. I couldn't even see that difference in the other airplane. So just trim it up and let it fly itself.
The G1000 is like way bigger too. It's a bigger screen, isn't it?
No, it's about pretty similar size to the Avidyne screen that used to be in the Cirrus.
Oh, well, you know, maybe, but compared to the 430 or the whatever.
Yeah, compared to the 430. Yeah. But
that's also your primary display. You're not looking at a six-pack of gauges anymore. Yeah. You've now got the glass cockpit, video game-looking interface, basically.
And that actually makes a bigger difference than anything. If you've had that experience, like the guys that come down from the airlines that fly it, you know, they're used to looking at the vertical tape airspeed, vertical tape altimeter, so that does make it easier for them to interpret. And so if you've got that experience, that should make that part easy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the basics of tuning the rate. Believe it or not, the toughest thing is people have a challenge tuning the comm radios, because there's one toggle switch, and this is kind of like the 430, 530, where they use the one knob to control the comm radio and the nav radio.
Yeah,
and
you gotta push it. You gotta push in on the bottom one if you want to dial your VOR up and push it back to go to your comms.
And the comms are the same, and navs are the same way with this. You got a comm knob and you got a nav knob. The comm knob controls comm 1 and 2, and the nav knob controls nav 1 and 2. So, same thing. So, you understand the concept. So, that part makes it easier. And another thing that surprised me, throws people off, the audio panel is not horizontally situated. It's vertically situated. So, up and down, and it is a little bit confusing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you would go with that as opposed to like having someone show you the unit, or maybe is there a software that you could go to?
The other thing, there's a bunch of videos out on YouTube that I can send you a link to. They'll get you oriented with the functions of it.
Right.
And then when you actually first come in, the first thing we're going to do is go sit in the airplane, plug external power source in, and show some functions.
Okay.
Set up a flight plan and go through kind of a little bit of a simulation.
You could do that at home, though.
Well,
online or something?
There is a program you can purchase from Garmin that is actually the G1000 simulator. I have it loaded on a computer in our classroom, and you can sit in that and play with those functions.
Well, even if you just went and look at screenshots, you could probably get a pretty click.
Well, and that's where that YouTube video comes from. It's basically a series of screenshots and animations of what to do and how to do it using that software that I was just talking about.
Yeah. So, but if he flew in and did that, and he passed the check ride, he'd have to rent a plane for a day or overnight or what? How would you guys?
Just by the hour, many hours you've flown it.
So how do you do that if someone needs to do an overnight, though?
We do require a minimum of 2 hours of flight time for a 24-hour period if somebody took it overnight. That we wouldn't worry about with Dennis, because the flight up to Jacksonville and back is about an hour up, hour back.
Right.
So depending on which airport he goes to.
So, because if you flew in and you would have to do your check ride, and then maybe you flew up there in the afternoon, you might spend the night in Jacksonville. You figure, Dennis, or no?
It all depends.
You wouldn't want to. I mean, who would want to spend the night in Jacksonville if they didn't have to?
I love
Jacksonville.
Not when you're in Orlando. Yeah. No, but since it is only an hour away, I mean, it's not hard to get out to the airport at 7 in the morning and go fly up there for the meeting and, just spend the day and fly back. I wouldn't have to overnight it.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm driving, with a two-hour car ride, you can still do it, but it's not as – you got to get up earlier.
Yeah, traffic, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, going up I-4 towards through Daytona especially rush hour, definitely fly.
Well, I mean, even at this point, maybe you could even hitch a ride with somebody. There are people flying from Orlando Executive up to Jacksonville. That's a fairly common route, isn't it? Yeah. You could hang out in the FBO and try to hitchhike. No?
I don't think anybody's going to pick me up as a hitchhiker.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he's not near as good looking as the girl we saw.
No, Keith's met me.
No, what you do, you recruit a hot girl, and you have her do the hitchhiking.
A bait and switch?
Yes, absolutely.
Go. Oh, yeah, sure. I'll take you up there. Okay. Here we go.
Hey, Joe,
and
then, we're good.
Can you take
Come
him,
on.
Too?
Yeah.
And then Dennis shows up.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Throws the whole weight and balance right off.
Yeah. Well, it's just an idea. Probably a bad one.
Among other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's very doable, and it'd be easy for him to execute such a plan. You're thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah? Or would you guys want to fly him up there? What if he said, hey, charter
me? Now we're getting into charter.
Yeah,
so.
Would that be a possibility?
No, we don't have to be charter because we could teach you the G-1000 on the way up there.
There,
and
see?
On the way back.
There we go. Yeah. And how would that work? Could that count as his training flight?
Oh, yeah.
So two birds, one. But then you're stuck up there in Jacksonville while he has his meeting. What do you do? How do you
build
that?
I'm sure he could go find a restaurant.
Depends on airport he goes to. You know, I know enough people up there. I probably could, you know, find something to do.
You'd find something to do and wouldn't have to charge him for it? Or would you charge him for lunch?
We wouldn't charge him for it.
We'll charge you.
We'd only charge you, Greg.
Well, no.
We wouldn't charge Dennis.
I'm just going to be an extra passenger. I figure
Here it comes.
For the ride.
Here's the real bait.
Had to be something in it for Greg.
Yeah. I was going to go on a scenic flight. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
So, you gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
And I'm flying so high, high off the ground. When
this is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Also, we have Captain Dennis, who is planning a flight down here to Orlando and then to Jacksonville. He's not going to fly his club plane because, well, I don't know, you've been having trouble with it, and it costs too much. That's the main thing. But you've also been having issues. Is that right?
Well, maintenance does catch up to you eventually. I'm sure glad I don't own this airplane outright and that we have 25 people to spread the costs around.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of a club.
There you go.
So, as long as everybody pays.
What did you have? What were the issues? What did you have to have maintained on the plane?
Well, it started off with a rough-running mag check. And so we thought it was maybe just a fouled-up plug. Well, that escalated.
Now, when you say rough mag check, what do you mean? When you check one mag?
When you do your run-up?
Yeah, and it goes down slightly.
You go
RPM.
To the left and to the right. You want to make sure that both of the ignition systems are working. Well, when we would go to our right magneto, it would run extremely rough and shudder, and it was like 300-400 RPM drop.
Mm.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
We had to get it to the mechanic. They pulled it apart. Oh, well, yeah, you get a lot of carbon on that particular spark plug. We'll clean that up, and runs up just fine. And 2 days later, it's back.
That's not good.
No, and this time, cleaning the spark plug in a run-up did not clear it up. Mm-hmm. So then they pulled the cover off the cowl there and started digging in, and we had to pull the magneto out, and it turned out we had burned points in the magneto, mm-hmm. and it had been a long time since this mag had been overhauled, so we had to pull the whole thing out, send it off field.
Okay, now hold on. When you say we, was that the mechanic, or did you
have... The mechanic.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now we,
you guys,
I'm
just
saying
complained.
We in the club had to, make the decision to bring maintenance in, and mm-hmm. yeah, I'm not an A&P, and I don't want to get into that. But yeah, we basically, as a club, we decided it's time. We had to pull the mag out and send it out for an overhaul. Fortunately, we have a really good shop here in the Minneapolis area, but it was over the holiday weekend and everything else, so it took a lot longer than normal to get it back. So the airplane was grounded for over 2 weeks. And
how many people in the club there?
We have 25.
So
we have actually 25 members.
How does that work when you have to solve an issue like that? Do they like email all 25 guys in the club and say, hey, look, we're having this problem, what do you think, we're going to take a vote or something?
No,
like that, or what?
Fortunately, we've set up there's a board of directors that handles all the business decisions, and then there's a designated maintenance officer, and I've kind of started to become a little bit of his backup, just because I've been involved with a lot of the electronic scheduling and things like that, mm-hmm. and I live probably the closest to anybody to the airport, so it's sometimes easy for me to run up and open the doors for a mechanic and things like that.
Okay.
But we basically, between Kyle and I, we've discussed what's going on, and it's like, yeah, we need to get this looked at. Let's call. We'll make a couple calls, find the mechanic that's available, shop it if we need to, and make the arrangements. They come over, take a look at the airplane, and go from there. Once it's down, it's just like any other flight school. You just take it off the schedule, send a notification out to the club, and once it's back online, we let everybody know what happened. And then during our monthly meetings, we'll just go over, hey, here's the maintenance status on these airplanes. Here's what happened this month. This is what we had to do. This is what it cost us. We had budgeted this much for maintenance. Where's our, where are we at? Everything's fine.
Well, how are you? Are you fine, or did you bust your maintenance budget wide
well,
open?
If we had to do it monthly, we probably busted it. But, overall, we've had very few problems with the airplane, and this was something that has been, we knew it was going to be coming eventually. Mm-hmm. So we wound up doing that. And while we had it down for all of that extensive work, we also took that opportunity to replace the starter that was starting to act up. Sometimes you turn the key and you'd hear the starter spin, but it wouldn't turn the prop. The little gear was starting to get sticky. Mm. Well, we already had a replacement starter on the shelf that we had purchased previously. So we just, hey, everything's apart anyway, let's just tack this on too. And
sure.
We just took the opportunity and just bit the bullet and got
what
it
kind
done.
Of plane is this again, Dennis?
This is on a Cessna 172, a Skyhawk.
Oh, it's a Cessna. Okay, well, does that sound right, guys, from your perspective too? Magneto going like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey. There's a service bulletin that calls for them to be serviced basically not overhauled, but serviced every 500 hours. And then if they open it up and they find like those points burned, well then, okay, now you're turning it into an overhaul. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's about $1,200-$1,300 to replace an alternator or a magneto. Mm-hmm. Overhauling it maybe $500 or $600. So if you can spare the time to do the overhaul, that's obviously worth the cost savings.
Hmm. Yeah, and ours, unfortunately, is the rather complex magneto where it's actually two mags.
Oh,
in
you got
one.
The H2AD engine.
Yes, we do. And so that magneto is very interesting. It's actually two independent mags inside of the same housing running off of the same gear drive. So when you go to overhaul it, it's $1,500 to have it looked at.
Yeah, we had one of those.
And you can't do that yourself.
That was the exact system, as you should already recall, was in your 733 Try the Mic, Greg, because I knew you knew that airplane so well.
I did, and yeah, I remember.
he remembers.
I specifically remember this conversation. I think it was with Ed or, well, I don't remember if it was Ed or Keith, but we had this conversation when we were going through the run-ups, and we're talking about the plane, and all this kind of stuff. I said, wow, this plane is a little older, but, it runs well. You guys have been using it for years. Have you ever had a situation where anything failed on it? Oh, never. We've had issues here and there. And sure enough, after my first solo flight, the flight right after that, one of the magnetos failed. And you guys, you had to land, didn't you? Don't you remember that? Keith remembers that.
I don't remember that. Magneto
what?
Failing.
No, it was a Magneto problem.
You said they never. It's a Magneto problem, but well, it causes to probably land.
Yeah, well,
maybe caught just, in the run up, but.
Well, no, I thought you took off and you had to come back down to the. Yeah, you did. It was kind of like a early stop and go.
I don't remember that. No.
No.
I do.
Do you remember?
I remember. It's like, hey, wait a minute. I said, you guys said this thing never fails.
You did your 360 degree turn on final.
Oh, that was after.
So that was after your second flight. Get your facts right. That was your second solo.
That was
flight.
My second flight.
Well, give him some credit here. It's been a long time since that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been at least one heart bypass before.
Yeah.
I owned that airplane, so I should remember that if we had that done.
Well, it was a Magneto problem. You had a Magneto fail, and you were
I'll
taken
have to go
off.
Back and look at the records.
Yeah, you don't remember any of this, huh? Vaguely. I don't know. But the thing is,
he finally admits it.
Well, you know, I'm just saying Magnetos can go, I guess is my point.
Yeah, sure they can.
It's a maintenance item.
And that one that you brought up is what, a little bit more finicky or just more expensive to replace?
More expensive to replace. Not necessarily more finicky.
Yeah.
Not necessarily meeting what most people think Magnetos are doing or being a redundant system,
mm-hmm.
where if one Magneto fails, most commonly the failure is the shaft shears between the engine and the Magneto. So if you have one shaft running two Magnetos, you don't have the complete redundancy that you would expect.
Ah, okay.
So it was one of those things that you're like, what were the engineers thinking when they designed this?
They weren't.
No, maybe. Hey, okay. Who knows? More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
Okay, I jogged Keith's memory. I think we figured out what it was. And so I was right. You guys didn't remember that when Charlie
Well,
Mike...
no, because it wasn't a mag problem.
Well, it didn't matter. It was just a problem. I got that. I get credit for just the fact that it had a problem, right?
No.
But now you remember it, right, Keith?
Well, I do remember it, but it wasn't a mag problem.
So what was the problem?
It was a fuel problem.
But there were no problems that ever happened to that plane that I was learning in until I flew it solo.
Should I tell them about my flight with Jeff?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no.
No.
No? I'm okay now because you guys don't have the plane anymore. So when I get back,
well, you don't fly, so it doesn't matter.
Oh,
it was actually a carburetor float problem.
A carburetor float problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so what caused it? What happened?
I don't know. I think we just replaced the carburetor on it.
Yeah, we ended up replacing the carburetor on it
because
I think the float was sticking.
Yeah. All right, so you took off and then lost power and then pitched
fuel
back down.
Fuel starvation and pushed the nose.
Engine started to sputter, so I just pitched the nose back down and landed on the remaining runway.
Yeah, and I when I heard about this, I was kind of like, what? My plane did what? Because that's what I was worried about. I was like, hey, is it ever going to stall when I take off?
Why is it his plane? I'm the one who paid for that sucker.
Well, no. And I'm flying it.
If I'm
the pilot in command, damn it, it's my plane. I'm taking ownership of that baby.
Well, good. Then let me send you some of the bills.
Do you still have them? I thought you sold
it. I'd like to.
I'll make one up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'd like to have somebody share those with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like Dennis.
Yeah.
Like Dennis wants to share it.
Do I get it 6 months out of the year and you get it the other 6 months?
You know, he's got 25 like joint people custody? He can share it with. I'll share it with you, Greg.
It sounds like the start of a new flying club.
Well, there you go.
What do you think? Yeah, we got four people
How much are you going to put in?
I got a Just Plain Radio hat and T-shirt I'm willing to throw in for the cause.
You're out.
You do know what makes an airplane fly, don't you, Greg?
Aviation monetary units.
Exactly.
Is that what it is?
MONEY.
Ah, makes sense. Okay. All right. Well, we'll put a club together. If I am, I think
not a golf club.
Well, we might use one to keep everybody in line. How about that? I call president.
All right. Then you're paying.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I could never be with someone who likes Joni Mitchell. It's Clouds Illusions, I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. What does that mean? Is she a pilot? Is she taking flying lessons? It must be a metaphor for something, but I don't know what it is.
I just want to fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com is the website to go to and learn how to fly with them as your flight instructors. Also, Captain Dennis with us, helping us out today via the web. All right, so we are navigating the latest aviation news and information. And Keith, you've come across a story. Now there's some folks at, what is this, some committee in the House or a representative in the House is complaining about the flights to Cuba that have just started flying there last few weeks or what? What's going on?
Yeah, the Transportation Security Subcommittee wants to stop flights to Cuba until
and
they...
Why? They don't, have they not been there?
Well, they have, and that's been...
They need toilet seats down in Cuba. How else are we going to get them there? Come on!
That's part of the argument, because the people that are proponents of flights to Cuba say, you know, hey, charter flights have been operating in and out of there for years.
Yeah.
And without any kind of terrorist incidents or anything like that.
Right.
I used to go down there quite often. Yeah. We never had any problems.
Other nations have been flying in there for years as well. The U.S. embargoed it, but it didn't stop French, the Canadians, or any other countries have had international flights to Cuba nonstop since the 50s.
Right. So that's part of the argument as well, because the proponents are saying that, you know, Cuba meets the international law for other countries to fly in and out of there.
Yeah.
So it's not right for the U.S. to go in there and
complain.
Put new laws in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But some of the committee went down there to try and, you know, or wanted to go down there and try and investigate this themselves so that the committee could write their report, and they were denied visas. They couldn't go in.
So, really? Yeah. Why was that? Because the Cubans didn't want them messing with things, or telling?
I don't know. The article didn't say whether it was from our side that wouldn't give them the visa or their side. So
yeah, interesting. Well, first of all, why would they need a visa, though? They're coming from the States.
Well, you remember when you went down there, you had to...
Yeah,
you have to meet one of the 12 categories. Different categories, and apparently TSA inspector's not one of them.
Yeah, they couldn't do a people-to-people thing while they were there? Come on, be a little creative, peoples. I don't know. You know,
really want to say that? TSA doing people-to-people? Come on.
Have you seen what they do? Or
well, you know what TSA stands for, right?
What does it stand for?
We can't say that on the air.
No, 1,000 standing around.
Hmm. Okay.
Oh, that's the generic version.
yeah, that's the clean
the one we can't share. All right. Well, you know, I've been to Cuba twice now, and I will say their security, I was actually surprised it was as intense as it was. I expect
it's
it to be
in this country. Of course, it's going to be intense.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I was like, I've had less security in places like the Bahamas and stuff. Now, you know, of course, when you come back into the States, you got to go through TSA standards in some of the bigger cities. But if you're flying in from an out island or something like that, where you got to clear customs, you know, you'll fly into Nassau or whatever and come over. But it didn't seem that much more stringent. I mean, than what Cuba does. They have, you know, metal detectors. What's interesting is when you're leaving the country of Cuba, you actually seem to have a little bit more security than when you enter. You know, because they don't want you bringing, stuff in. Both ways, like guns and things like that. They're definitely looking for that, because I think...
When I was flying down there, they wouldn't let you take anything in. I mean, they were arrested people that are trying to take air conditioners and stuff
or
battery.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, so they're pretty strict with their security there, both going in and coming out, for that matter. I mean, it's pretty much like TSA standard from what I can remember. I had to get all the crap out of my, you know, pockets and all that stuff. And then they did the whole wand thing. It was more probably old school technology, maybe. But
I don't want to know how you brought the cigars home. Then.
Well, that's
well, you're allowed. You're allowed to bring up to $100 worth of cigars.
That's part of the problem.
What do you mean?
It's using old technology, and the committee wants them to have the body scanners and stuff.
Okay, just so they can see their nether regions and stuff?
That's TSA. They're people to people, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it sounds like it's a little bit much. But and like
you're
you said,
twisted.
It's, you know, they have a history with other countries, and they haven't had problems coming through Cuba. Now, does that mean that, you know, they couldn't look at that as a potential, you know, hole or security breach that terrorists could take advantage of? Maybe, but, I mean, seems like they could work
through
it. That's
part of the argument. They're saying that is a, you know, their terrorists have the potential to come through there.
Yeah.
Looking for loopholes like that.
Yeah.
But, well, I don't know.
Well, on my last Caribbean flight, I came from Jamaica into Miami. Mm-hmm. And you had to go through security in Jamaica to get on the flight. And then as soon as you get into Miami, you're going through customs. You had to go back through TSA screening to go back into the main terminal to get your connecting flight. I really don't see the problem here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you would think
it's the same way here.
They would have you cleared in properly in Jamaica because you're already getting on the plane there.
No, you would have to here. And that's what he's saying. You come from Jamaica, you go through security at the Jamaican airport.
Yeah. Oh,
you
right,
come to
right,
the U.S.,
right.
You go through customs. And then if you're going to get on another flight, let's
why
say
would you have
from,
to clear again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you do.
Yeah. You do. Just
any,
because.
Any international flight. That's why you've got separate international terminals.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's just because of Miami. And they just want to make things as difficult as possible.
Orlando is the exact same way.
Sanford is as well.
You actually have to collect your luggage. You had to actually go collect your luggage and then bring it through and then recheck it. And so then everything got rescanned. We were even reminded that if you're bringing any rum back, that you need to take it from your carry-on and put it back into your check bag before you check it through at Miami, because they will confiscate it because you're going through TSA and you're not allowed to have liquids.
And they're thirsty. Yep. You know, so, yeah, no, you're right. I understand. But what does that say? That they don't trust the security, like in Jamaica and stuff like that, you think? I never looked at it
way. It's from any country.
Well, I know.
Any international travel. So anywhere you come from in the world, that's what you're going to have to do. If you come through from another country, you're going to get off the airplane, you're going to clear customs, you're going to go back through security again to get on another domestic flight.
Yeah, but doesn't that tell you they don't really trust that other
Absolutely.
Security? But it's kind of, well, they've already flown here, so they might as well trust them, you would think. If they trust them to fly here, I mean, they could fly the plane and do all kinds of craziness. And it hadn't happened, really, I guess, right?
All I can say is people to people.
Okay. So you're not a fan of
and,
this
and I effort. And I know that Donald Trump was watching the Olympics because he was watching specifically the pole vaulting, the Mexicans.
Okay. I don't even know what that means, Ed. Would you care to translate?
He was watching the Mexican pole vaulters to see how high of a fence they
how
can
high the fence
come
over.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, sometimes you know I need an explanation for Keith's jokes, but that's okay.
Actually, I believe I told you that one.
Well, that explains it. Anyway,
yeah, but he got it. I didn't have to explain it to him.
Yes, use. All right. So anyway. But I take it you're on the side of you think this is a bunch of nonsense, Keith? Is that what you're kind of alluding to, maybe? You think it's not necessary, or do you think they have a valid gripe?
It is my opinion, my personal opinion, that all of TSA is a waste.
Really? Ed, care to chime in on that?
I pretty much agree with him, because it's the impression of security.
Security theater.
Yeah, but what's the alternative? I mean, do
the alternative is to arm everybody that's getting on an airplane.
Give everybody a gun. As opposed to peanuts? Here, have a Glock.
Okay.
Hey, pass the ammo.
Hey, you know, I mean, if look at Switzerland. What's their crime rate? They know that every house has weapons in it, right?
Is that how Switzerland is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought everyone had chocolate. I didn't know they had to.
That too.
They have that too.
And cheese. Right.
Okay. And cheese, of
And
course.
So, you know, there's no crime there. I mean, are you going to go into a house when you know they're armed?
I'm not going to go into anyone's house. It's not mine. Unless I'm invited first. But that's just me being polite.
I mean, you got to look at the mind of the criminal.
Yeah.
You know, a criminal's not going to. Are they going to try and do anything on an airplane if they know that everybody's armed?
Probably not.
No.
That's one way to look at it, for sure. I mean, that'd be a tough sell, I think, in the current
obviously,
climate.
Yes.
But
your boarding pass and your sidearm.
Yeah.
Proceed to your
okay.
seat.
Okay, we'll give them all tasers.
Tasers, or, you know, rubber bullets.
No,
you
just
know.
Tasers.
A little Nerf thing.
Take them down.
Yeah, just something to, like, really put a welt on you.
But how many people are going to try to test that taser on themselves in the airplane?
Well, you know, the real way to stop all this stuff is really simple. There's two things they need to
do. Everyone get their own plane. Fly themselves.
Well, no. I mean, number one, profile. They do it in this country already. They just don't let everybody know that they're doing it. And number two, make people responsible for their own actions.
Oh, that'll never happen. My God, you are a dreamer.
I have to be able to blame somebody.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Lionfish are cool to see, but stings are painful and on the rise as their numbers increase. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you what to do if a lionfish stings you.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Lionfish possess spines that transport venom into puncture wounds. The injuries can be extraordinarily painful. Soaking the wound in non-scalding hot water to tolerance will likely relieve the pain from a lionfish sting. Of course, if the injured person appears intoxicated or is weak, vomiting, short of breath, or unconscious, seek immediate advanced medical care. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Level her off. Good job.
You hear that? Flawless. It makes sense. This is second nature. I've logged a lot of remote control hours. Gus, what would you say is harder, RC or the real thing?
The real thing.
Tough call.
I'm flying across the
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith, and also Dennis via the web. All right, a show would not be complete without at least a little drone news for you. So I'm watching this show, Better Late Than Never. The new William Shatner, George Foreman, Henry Winkler, and
Terry Bradshaw's
on this. I think it's a hilarious show. They go to Japan, they travel around the world, they're a bunch of old farts and do a bunch of things they probably shouldn't be doing. You know, it's kind of like a reality, I don't know, hangover type kind of thing, trip, you think, something like that? It's kind of a hoot. But, you know, they were in Seoul, South Korea, and on one of the scenes I'm watching. I think this was last week.
It was last week. I didn't see it, but they just went from Seoul to Bangkok.
Yes.
And Thailand.
And they go on a picnic, and their picnic basket was delivered by a drone. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, my gosh. That is freaking awesome, man. And sure
Don't
enough,
worry, Keith. You are not missing a thing by not having a TV and seeing this show.
What?
Because you would turn it off.
It's an awesome show.
Sounds
William
like I probably
Shatner.
Would.
Yeah, I can't believe that I haven't the two times that it's been on. It's kind of like you get it's so bad you got to like I can't believe they're doing this show.
Yeah. No, William Shatner's like, a drone just delivered our lunch. You know, yeah, that's my best William Shatner. That's all I got, guys. Anyway.
Yeah, not much.
Yeah. but evidently they have that technology or are already offering that up in Seoul, South Korea. Why don't we have that here?
FAA.
They won't let me. Well, Dennis, you were telling me at the break that what Chipotle is working on something already, or what did you say about them?
Yep, I saw where Chipotle's, or at least they're using a drone to deliver Chipotle burritos for some testing. So there's a university that's doing a program, and that's that makes sense.
They're dropping Chipotle burritos on people. That sounds more like just for fun and amusement that some freshman came up with to do with his spare time. Hey, man, what are you doing? I'm bored. Let's go drop burritos on Charlie. You know, that would be something that the college kids would do. But yeah. But we water can't
balloon.
Do that.
Yeah, that sounds...
Water balloon would be fun, too. Yeah. But if they were talking about... I don't know if it was this thing on that show, Better Late Than Never, but I saw something about a drone that could lift upwards of 40 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that covers a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I just saw one this morning where the drone is rated to carry 44 pounds. It's got a five-way articulated, essentially talons. It looks like like bird's legs. They can actually pick up a life vest for like you have on Baywatch.
Yeah,
and they could actually fly out into the middle of the lake and drop the life ring to a swimmer. It could perch on the edge of a fence like a bird, which, if that doesn't freak out, here's this airplane coming in with these talons grabbing onto the railing and
God
then spinning
help you.
Down and waiting.
If you have a small child or a dog or something that's barking too much in the neighborhood.
44 pounds, that takes care of a lot of different dogs.
That takes care of Fluffy.
Yeah. I mean, it puts the dog catchers out of business. They're going to just send the drone after them. You know? That'd be kind of...
I could see chasing a dog with that.
Yeah, that'd be
I'm kind of thinking of new business ideas here.
Yeah.
What do you want to...
The gears are definitely turning.
Yeah, for sure.
You got an annoying neighbor?
Go grab the dog.
Well. No,
I think Pete is going to be looking for us really soon here.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I think so. That might be a little over the
You're line, getting
but,
a lot of...
But we're actually getting calls now. Yeah. And in fact, one of our instructors has already gone through the process of taking the the test that you have to take through the Fast Team program and submitting the application. And then another instructor went in and signed him off. And he'll be getting his drone operator certificate. I've had a couple customers call me that saying, hey, they've done the test. Can we do that for them as well?
Yeah. Well, I thought the test is online.
The test is online, but then to get the certificate,
yeah,
you have to go on IACRA. Now, we talked a little bit about this when they changed the student pilot rules.
Right.
The student pilot certificate, we now have to go on IACRA and get the student pilot certificate issued through IACRA. And when that process came around, the flight instructor has to go in and recommend the student pilot for the student pilot certificate. Instead of going to the FAA, instead of going to a pilot examiner, they authorized every instructor that's registered in IACRA to do it.
Okay.
And so what's happened with the drone process is the same thing. That, okay, you've taken the test, you go in, you set up your FTN number, flight training number, and set up your account, and then you put in your test results and answer all the information in there, and then you submit the application. Then you have to go to a flight instructor to then have the flight instructor log in, verify the information. Literally, we have to look at their license, their driver's license, and all that stuff. Verify mm-hmm. they are who they say they are.
Yeah.
And then approve their application, and then they'll be issued the certificate by mail
okay.
a couple weeks down
so
the road.
You've already done that, haven't you, Dennis?
I've taken the test, but I have not done the IACRA process because that just came online here with, like, the last 2 weeks.
Just last couple days.
Well, there we go. You know, at the beginning of the show, you're talking about coming to Jacksonville and coming to Orlando. Now you got another reason.
Yeah.
You have Ed write you off. Will you endorse him on that?
Ed's already written him off.
He know, you know him. I mean, he knows you. I've written him off a long time ago. But yes, that we can do that.
For a price. Or is that
for
free?
Dennis? No, for you, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, as far as the flight instructors that sign
he's
off.
Not picking on you, Greg, because without your pilot's license, you're actually going to have to pay to go take the test at a designated testing center. Ooh. For me, as an existing pilot, all I had to do was take the test online and go see my friendly neighborhood flight instructor to get the endorsement added.
Hmm. Well, or I just go get a fake ID and say I'm Dennis.
That works, too. Whoever gets here first.
There you go. See? You said a bit too much there, Dennis. And on that disturbing note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.